Of other things, we Brother Roy brought a his dolly. Now let's I just stop right there for a minute. Let that sink in. Brother Roy brought his dolly, and we're talking about the kind that moves appliances around. And if there's a couple fellas could help us after church, go downstairs. We need to move the refrigerator and the stove back into the kitchen back there. Brother Mike set the cabinets, put the countertop on. The walls are painted. Lewis and Ashley did the floor down there. It looks really good. And it's supposed to be such a strong industrial paint that you can park a car on it. I told them I would try that this week. I wasn't sure how much damage it might do to other parts of the building, but it won't hurt the floor whatsoever, they tell me. But we don't want to push it by pushing that refrigerator and stove across the floor. So Roy agreed to bring that in so we could lift and put it there. So anybody that's able, we'd appreciate that after the service tonight, and we'll get that kitchen put back together, and things are going to look good down there. And then second of all, Melody just told me that this Tuesday is her dad's, or it was her mother's birthday. So Brother Leonard will probably have a hard time this week, because I'm sure he's very much aware of the fact that her birthday is this Tuesday. So be in special prayer for him. He was in church again this morning, been coming back, and I know at one point we were singing a song, and I forget what song it was, but I know it was one of Juanita's favorite songs, and I saw him get up and step outside. So there's still a lot of struggles and battles going on there, so pray for him. Brother Roy.
Yeah, I talked to him this afternoon, and he said there was two songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So just continue to pray for him. It's good to see him coming back, and pray for him this week, as it'll be a little more difficult for him. All right, open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua chapter 1, and I kind of tipped you off this morning as to what I'm going to be preaching about tonight. And it's been something that has been a burden on my heart, because I've just been amazed that anybody would question it. And so we're going to look at this thing tonight, Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. Notice the promise that's given by the Lord through the pen of Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather again together tonight and to worship you. And Father, we just pray that you would feed us spiritually tonight. God, we need to be fed by you. Father, we need your word to speak to us and through us. Father, we need it to correct us, to rebuke us, to instruct us. Father, may we never be so haughty, never be so high-minded to think that we don't need the Word of God every day of our lives. Father, impress upon us tonight, Father, how empty we are without you. Father, how our self-sufficiency so many times blinds us, and the devil blinds us to thinking we can get by without picking up your book every day. Lord, I just pray you would remind us of truths that we know are already there. But Father, instruct us and show us. Father, many times we're satisfied with where we are in our Christian life. We don't think we need to add anything or do anything more. And Father, what a blind statement that is when we make it. And so, Father, we pray you'd open our eyes spiritually tonight. Father, I'm preaching to saved people. Father, people that love you, that love the church, that love the family of God. Father, we do love your word. And I pray, Father, you would remind us that we need to put more than just our lips to those proclamation. Father, we need to do something with your word. As you told Joshua and as you told David and many others in the scripture, that Father, we would make it our meditation day and night, that we would read the things that are written therein, that we might be prosperous and have good success. Bless your word tonight, our time around it, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. There ought to be no question or no doubt in your mind that God wants you to read his word. That ought to be a given. That ought not even be a question mark. I found this, and I'm going to read this to you. Here are the top 10. You always hear these things. The top 10 signs that you may not be reading your Bible enough. And, of course, these are humorous, so at least 9 of them are. The top 10 signs you may not be reading your Bible enough. And somebody else wrote these. I didn't, so some of them are a little blah, blah, whatever. But number 10, the kids keep asking you too many questions about your usual bedtime story called Jonah the Shepherd Boy and His Ark of Many Colors. Top 10 signs you may not be reading your Bible enough. Number 9, you keep falling for it every time your pastor tells you to turn to First Condominiums or Second Hesitations. Right now somebody's looking for those books. Number 8, you think the minor prophets worked in the quarries. Number 7, I'm going to skip. Number 6, and I like this one. You become frustrated because Charlton Heston isn't listed in the concordance or the Bible dictionary. I thought that was a good one. Number 5, a small family of woodchucks has taken up residence in the Psalms. Number 4, the top 10 signs you may not be reading your Bible enough. Your favorite Old Testament patriarch is Hercules. Number 3, you open the Gospel of Luke and a World War II savings bond falls out. I've seen that Bible before. Number 2 of the top 10 signs, you think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may have had a few hit songs during the 60s. And the top sign, and this won't be as funny, the top sign, you may not be reading your Bible enough, the preacher announces the sermon is from Galatians and you check the table of contents. Yeah, that one gets a little too close. Does God want us to read His Word? Obviously the answer is yes. Throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Bible, God impresses and emphasizes to you and I that the reason that He inspired 66 books of the Bible and preserved almost 800,000 words of Scripture was not so that it could just take place in a book and collect dust on a shelf, but the Bible tells us itself that the purpose that God put it together is for you and I to read it. And not to read it when the whim comes upon us, not read it when the Spirit moves us, but to have a regular systematic system of Bible reading. God wants us to read His Word. Turn, I want you to turn. We're going to do some finger exercises, and then we'll give you a breather after that. But turn to Isaiah chapter 34. Let's just see that God wants us to read His Word. Isaiah chapter 34. You would think this wouldn't be a question, but I'm going to tell you why I'm even bothering to cover this as we get into the message tonight. Isaiah chapter 34, God through the prophet Isaiah reveals to the children of Israel what the conditions will be like during the millennial reign of Christ. During that wonderful kingdom age, He reveals to them in the book of Isaiah, and He tries to encourage them by what they have awaiting them and what He has promised them. And to encourage them, He has recorded all this stuff and written it down, but it doesn't do any good to have it all written down if nobody reads it. And so He tells them in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse number 16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We go back to this morning. Isn't it amazing how simple God says things? Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. He told the people of Isaiah, you know why you get depressed and discouraged? Because you're not reading your Bible. I've told you what the millennial reign is going to be like. I've told you what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ comes back. Yes, conditions are bleak right now. You go from the Babylonian captivity into the Roman captivity. I know things are hard, but if you just sit down out of the book of the Lord and read, maybe you'd get some encouragement. Maybe you'd get some enthusiasm for things that are going to happen. And so God tells Isaiah to tell the children of Israel, to tell the people, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. God wants us to read His Word. Turn over to Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 12. I like this. Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin in verse number 1 so we get a run in it. Verse 3 is where we want to look. But in Matthew chapter 12, it says, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And His disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. All right, they're going through the fields on the Sabbath day, they're plucking ears of corn, and they're eating it with unwashed hands. Not recommended, but nothing contrary to the Old Testament law. And what does Jesus say to them in verse number 3? But He said unto them, have ye not read? You know what the problem is? People aren't reading. You know why they get confused and don't understand what the Bible says? Because they're not reading it. If you're not reading it, you won't understand it. If all you're getting is what somebody else tells you it says, you won't get it for yourself. It's a wonderful blessing. I enjoy, as much as you do, I enjoy good Bible preaching. I travel, you know, an hour and a half away. If there's a preacher's meeting or a Bible, I will go there because I want to get good preaching. I hope you get it here, but I'm not the one listening here, so I like to go where I can get it. And I love it when somebody preaches from the Bible and God just through them shows me something in the Word of God that I hadn't seen before. I get excited. I go expectant. I go rejoicing. And it's wonderful to get something from the preacher when he preaches. But you know what's even better? Is to get it without the preacher's help. Is to sit at home on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is, and just to open the Bible in front of you and to begin reading through it and have God just do something startling. You know what? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I know why. Because you're not reading your Bible. God gave you a book to read day after day after day. He gave you a book to soak in and to take in. And let's be honest, folks, we spend more time in front of the stinking television than we do reading that Bible. The average movie, DVD, video, whatever it wants is, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours long? And we think 20 minutes of the Bible, 12 minutes of reading three chapters is too hard. But we got time for all the other stuff. The computer is one of the biggest wastes of time that the devil's ever invented. You say, oh, so much good can be done. That's what they said when the television was invented. You know, there's so much potential. We can reach the world with that. And outside of those few people that might watch the History Channel or, you know, something boring and dull like that, the rest of it you could just pitch and you'd never know the difference. And Christians absorb themselves in that and neglect the Word of God. Same thing is true, and I preached on this a little while. Facebook. Good night. The people that have time to spend time on Facebook and on the Internet and on farming and on whatever else that stuff's all going on that's on there. There's all kinds of stuff. And we wonder why the Bible is neglected among God's people. Because we have time for everything in the world, but that which is the most important thing. And that's the Word of God. And the Bible tells us, He said to these Pharisees, He said, have ye not read? It's not the only time He had to say that to them. Look over at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I should get rid of my TV and my computer and all that other thing? Yeah. Yeah. But you won't do it. You won't do it. It'll be there. You'll have it for educational purposes. You'll have the DVDs. You'll have the video. Something that's harmless. Something that's fine. That just takes up 2.5-3 hours of your time. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you control it that way, as long as you make time in your day to spend time in this book right here, this is highly more valuable than anything else you've got that you spend your time on. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 4, here we find again in verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? See the answer to him when they come with their questions? Haven't you read your Bible? Haven't you read the law? Haven't you read the Scriptures? Haven't you read what David said? Haven't you read what Moses wrote? Haven't you read? Notice in this same chapter, or not this chapter, chapter 22 and verse number 31. Chapter 22 and verse number 31. Jesus again is answering the questions of the Pharisees about the resurrection and the man who had a wife who died and she took a brother to wife and seven of them. You know the story. And they came up with, in verse 30, with a big confusing thing. Well, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? And the Lord answered in verse number 31, but it's touching the resurrection of the dead. Have ye not read? I wonder if he'll ask us that question when we get to heaven. He asked it four times to these folks here in the book of Matthew. I wonder if one of the questions at the judgment seat of Christ he's going to ask us, okay, child, okay, son, daughter, have you read? Now, he'll know the answer before we answer. Have you read? I believe God wants us to read His Word. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I know you're thinking, preacher, this is basic stuff. Why are you even bothering? I'll tell you in just a minute. But I want you to get the foundation down. I want you to see that God wants us to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we don't have time to go into inspiration. I'm personally doing a study on that, and we'll work on that in the month of December. But God took His time to give every single word exactly like He wanted it to be. And He didn't do that just for the elite. He didn't do that for the priesthood. He did that for the priesthood of every believer. God took His time to make sure every word was in a language you understand so that you could read it. God went through the effort of using men to do that. And if we are not faithful at reading it, God has, per se, wasted His time as far as we are concerned, because He put it into a book that we neglect and don't read. And we're going to have to tell the Lord why. But notice what He says in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It will profit you to read your Bible. Isaiah said, it prospers you. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. So it's prosperous, it's profitable. It's profitable for four things. Notice this in verse 16, and this is why it's so important. The number one reason that all Scripture was given is because it's profitable for what? Doctrine. 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 You know what the trend of our day is? Doctrine divides. Don't speak about doctrine. If you want to get the Baptists and the Methodists and the Church of Christ and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians, if you want to get them all together for whatever purpose it is, you can't talk about doctrine. And God says, wait a minute, that's the number one reason I gave my book. I gave you my book for doctrine. How can somebody that believes you're saved by grace through faith get along with somebody that believes you're saved by baptismal regeneration? How can the two of you worship God together when your doctrine is not the same? How can those of you that believe that salvation is by someone old enough to put their faith and trust in Christ get together for some kind of ecumenical gathering with somebody that believes that you baptize the baby because in God's chosen system, they are the elect of God, and by their baptism, they become a part of the family of God? How do you get those things together? The only way you can do it is to get rid of the doctrine. So you know what they do? They change that word. And it's profitable for teaching, not for doctrine. You know what doctrine is? What is right? You want to know what is right? Read your Bible. You know why people don't know what's right? They don't read their Bible. Well, our church teaches. Our pastor says, I've always believed. Mama said, what about the Bible? It's given for doctrine. What is right? Second of all, it's given for reproof. What is not right? You know what God will do when you're reading your Bible? He'll convict you. You'll be reading through there in Mark, and he'll say, from out of the heart, not out of the mouth, but out of the heart proceedeth evil things. Adulteries, fornications, thefts, covetous, murders, deceit. And you'll read through these lists and say, ooh, some of those things kind of hit close to me. That's why a lot of people don't read the Bible. They don't have time, don't want to deal with those things. But that's what the Bible is for. It's for doctrine to teach you what is right. It's for reproof to teach you what is not right. For correction, how to get right. See, the Bible gives you everything. For correction, how to get it right. You say, what do? Get it right. What if I have a problem with this? Get it right. What if I'm not doing what I should do? Get it right. How do I do that? Start reading your Bible. It says it's too simple. God's way is simple. That's why simple people like us can do it. Because He wants it to be simple. God doesn't use the high, the mighty, the noble. God uses the average person. So He made it at our level, we could understand it. Doctrine is what is right. Reproof is what is not right. Correction, how to get it right. For instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right. You want to keep a right relationship with God? Read your Bible. We teach it to our kids, do we not, in Sunday school? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. How many of us are shrinking? How many of us have gone a week without once opening that Bible and reading it? He said, folks, some of you said, preacher, you're getting pretty rough. I'm preaching to me as well as you. Don't misunderstand that. And I'm preaching hard because I need to be preached that hard. I need to be reminded I need that book every single day of my life, or I'm not going to advance and grow spiritually like God wants me to advance and grow. I can get in my car and turn on that radio and get fed by the world and neglect that book, and I'm going to be more like the world than I'm like that book. And my language will eventually show it. The things that I talk about or that I'm interested in or the way I phrase things or say things will indicate where I'm getting all of my feeding from. It needs to come from this book. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction of righteousness. Look, if you would, at John chapter 17. God wants us to read His book. There's no doubt about it. John chapter 17. Verse number 17. Jesus, in His priestly prayer, praying for those that He's going to leave behind as He goes back to heaven, says about us. He says to the Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. You know what sanctify means? It means to be set apart unto God. Sanctification is not some big, elaborate, mystical thing. Sanctification is simply being set apart to God. When you got saved, you were sanctified. Because you were taken out of this world and put in Christ. You were taken away from the devil and put in the family of God. And now God wants to make you different from the rest of the world. That's sanctification. How do I become different from the rest of the world? Jesus said in verse 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to please the Lord Jesus Christ? Become less like the world and more like Him? Read the Bible.